Thank you so much for the privilege to be here this morning and to be a blessing to the family of God. Sincerely, we appreciate this fellowship this morning. What Ron has said, we came in here courtesy the issue of the persecutions. And so we are privileged to share a little bit about the persecutions in Nigeria. So that is the reason why, you know, when immediately we got the invitations to come here, we could not even hesitate. We quickly embraced it. We said, of course, this church must be a mission church, mission-based church. God bless the church. God will strengthen you and bless you more and more. And so that's the reason why we're here this morning. Meanwhile, God blessed me with a beautiful family, wife and three kids. The first one is Victor, who's there at the back there, you know, the studio. Second is Gift here. And the third is Destiny. He's in the children class. You know, Victor is in 10th grade, Give is in 9th grade, and Destiny is in homeschooling. Yes. He is 5 years. While Victor is 15, Give is 13. You know, so it's our pleasure and privilege to be here with you this morning to share with you briefly about the persecution church. So by the grace of God, yes, that's the family there that God has blessed us with. You know, so thank you so much. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and thank you for this wonderful and beautiful morning. This is the day you have made that we will rejoice and rejoice forevermore. Thank you for a beautiful family of ABC. We thank you for the privilege to be here. Lord, this is your church. Bless your church. Protect your church. Preserve your church. Bless your church to increase from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from wisdom to wisdom. In the name of Jesus. Thank you as we humble ourselves to hear your word this morning about the persecuted churches in Nigeria and other part of the world. Lord, give us the understanding that we will serve you more and more. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Yes, so let's go back to our topic today. Every believer is part of the persecuted church. Every believer is part of the persecuted church. First and foremost, I thank God for the experience the church had here about missions. We had quite a number of discussions with Ron and Bonnie on missions to Liberia, Ivory Coast, and all that. And today, our brother in Zambia was also with us, you know, on the screen. That's wonderful. You know, so those are all aspects of missions. And once we see missions, it gives us a greater joy for us to move on in serving him much better off. Our text today is in Acts of the Apostle, chapter 1, verse number 8. That's where we're going to dwell with our reading a little bit, so that we can now move on. Acts of the Apostle, chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That is mission, complete mission. You have to be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Where is our Jerusalem? Here. We start here. Then from here, we move on to Judea, to Samaria, and then to the end of the earth. That's global mission. Global mission. Mission is into three categories. One, locally. Two, nationally. And thirdly, globally. You have to be involved in mission. Why? Because you are part of the church. Amen? We are part of the church. Don't look at this church as ABC church. Look at it as the church of Jesus Christ. Matthew 16:18, he said, Peter, you are the rock upon which I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against. So it is his church, not our church. ABC church is not your church. It's his church first. You are only privileged to be a member of his church. That's why you are qualified to be a member and a part of global mission, as a part of local mission, national mission, and global mission, because you are doing his missions. You shall receive power. Who gives the power? Him. Without him, you can't move. Without him, without Christ, without Jesus, we cannot move. So he enabled us, he gave us the grace, he gave us the enablement to move locally, nationally, and internationally, and globally. So for somebody to live here, to go to Ivory Coast, to go to Liberia, to go to Zambia, to go to Tanzania, to go to Ukraine, to go to any part of the world on mission, he needs grace, he needs prayers, he needs God's enablement, he needs God's support. And then because he calls us, we are first of all believers first. We must believe in Christ. Acts of the Apostles chapter, let's go to chapter 9. And then verse 2. Let me see chapter 9, verse 2. You will get to know that any attack on the church is directly an attack on Christ. Any attack on the church is directly on Christ. Let's start from verse 4. Then he fell to the ground and heard of the voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? He's not persecuting ABC. He's persecuting Christ. Why? So any church you see it standing and it's a church of Christ, it is our solid responsibility to protect the church because that is the church of Christ. That is the kind of burden that some of us had in Nigeria, to be honest with you. The privilege that God gave some of us in Nigeria by the virtue of my positions in Nigeria, as I've served as the secretary of the whole Christian youth in Nigeria. Nigeria have a population of over 200 million people. I don't know if I can get the map of Nigeria here. Can I get a map of Nigeria here? Yes. It has a population of over 200 million people. Now, if you look at the map, You can see from here, down this way, down this way, down, in fact, from here, down here, down this way to Kogi, to Benue, to Taraba, down here. So from here upward, these are the all areas that has been persecuted by the Islamic terrorists in Nigeria. All they are looking for, and this is their base. From here, you get into Chad. This is Chad Basin. From here. Now, all the border areas here, they are all Middle East that come in with malicious and forces to take over the whole, want to take over the whole of Nigeria. So they keep moving on and on and on and on down to this place. Up like this. This is the southern part of Nigeria, which is, of course, is Christians, but they themselves don't know what is happening around here. They don't know. I was privileged to be the secretary of the whole Christian youth in Nigeria, the whole of this. So our office used to be here, the federal capital. Any attack from Borno here on the minority Christians here, they report to us here, and then we see what we can do with relief to them here. How can we protect the church in Borno? How can we protect the church in Yobe, in Jigawa, in Kano, in Katsina, in Zamfara, in Sokoto, in Kebbi, in Niger, in Niger, sorry, not Niger. We have Niger. Niger State, in Kwara, Kwara here, then Kaduna, Plateau, this is where we came from. Yes, Plateau. Plateau State, the capital city of Plateau is called Jos. J-O-S. Jos means Jesus, our Savior. That is it. That's how the founding fathers founded the state and said the capital is going to be Jesus, our Savior. So that is why the forces are fighting hard to take over these states where we belong. And they want to eliminate the name Jesus, our Savior. They've so far, within this short time, the terrorists have taken over 117 communities here from my states. And so that is the reason why the virtue of the positions that some of us occupy in the country on the protections of the Christian faith, we go through these same similar attacks every day. And every day, the whole of the whole map, there is no state I've not been to. Because once they cry for help, we move there instantly. We risk our lives to get there to see exactly what is happening and how can we possibly pray with them and help them out. How can we do? Because it is his church. It's the church of Christ. They are all called Christians. They are believers of Jesus. So they are part of the persecutions. Everyone, that's why I said every believer is a part of the persecutions. It can either affect you directly or indirectly. You are involved. As long as you send support to Tanzania, to Ivory Coast, to Liberia, to Zambia, all of those things, you are directly involved. You are part of it. If you are not directly involved, you won't send supports. So that is the reason why we see it as a collective Mission Week. I'm so blessed to be in ABC Church because ABC Church is a mission-based church. I'm so excited. Pastor, God bless you. Honestly, it's a mission-based church. They are concerned about, that is the heartbeat of Christ. That's the heartbeat of Christ. In my state, I can give you an example of a church. Victor, there is a church that was attacked, but they still worship God, depending on when we were able to move in the church. You understand? These are all part of the rubbles of the churches gone. There are quite a number of churches. I can tell you, I have a history here, which I was part of it from 1980, of all the persecution of the churches. You will realize that from December 18, 1980, Kano State in Nigeria, Islamic revivalists called Metasine Group, before they are the one that advanced to Boko Haram, started attacking Christians in Kano, burned over 4,000 Christians. Over 4,000 Christians were killed, and their properties were all destroyed in one day. In one day. I have the record. Then in October 1982, Kaduna, another Metasine riot, over 50 Christians estimated dead in one day. You move on again, October, 30th, in the same Kano again, Savangari, churches were burned, into ashes. Churches, all. They will look for the church and attack the church to ensure that the church, but the truth of the matter is that the gate of hell shall not prevail. The church is still bouncing back. And so this one is a small local church in my village, in my state. Can you play it for me? Let me see. Is it possible? Yeah, this is the whole church. They attacked the church, burned everything down. The members came and removed the rubbles and still serve God inside and worship God inside the rubbles. They removed it and said, no problem. As long as it is, we'll still, worship God. And in this same place, this was where they killed about 218 members of the church. 218, which I have all the records of the names and the families here. That's our responsibilities. We move to see what we can do to protect them, to preserve them, the little that are there, not to run away. We must be praying for them. We must pray for them. So the persecution is real. It's not that they are just talking stories. It's real. It's real. And that's the reason why you are either involved in praying for the people or whatever it is that if you cannot reach there, you reach them with your prayers. The Bible says in Psalms 107 verse 20, it says, he sent forth his word and the word healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Destruction is coming in, but we here don't know about it. We have to send the word of prayers to them for God to heal them and deliver them. Who do they have? Who do they have? Where will they run to? That's their state. That's where they are born up. That's where they are brought up. But the invaders, the terrorist group, comes to chase them, to take over the land. So that's the reason why we are fighting to protect that. We fight our knees. We still go back to rebuild the rubbles and to ensure that, look, the church of God must keep moving on. And so that's the reason why we need to pray and pray for the persecuted church. You are part of them. You and I are part of them. We cannot leave them behind. Why? Because all of us are believers. All of us. All of us. John Gospel, chapter number 1, verse 12. To all of them who believe in him, he gave them power to become sons of God. So anywhere you are, as long as you believe in him, he gives you the power to become his sons and daughters of God. So if we're sons of God, what do? Every member of a family of church of believers are my family. They are your family. You should care for them because we're all purchased by the blood of Jesus. All of us were purchased by the blood. At the end of it, he will call us faithful servants. Enter your rest. All these struggles we do, we go to heaven, and then we have a better home that we will not see persecutions, no sorrows, no pains. But as long as we're here, we see them. So that is the essence why we need to pray for them. That's the essence we need to pray for them. Can I have a Nabila picture? Yes, this young lady. This young lady, she's a very small girl. No, she was not kidnapped. She was, she gave her life to Christ. She's a Muslim. She's from Borno State, where I showed that it's the headquarters of the Boko Haram. So when she became a Christian as a young girl, even her father, all of them were looking for her to kill her because they believe that Christianity is haram for them. So why will you even become a Christian? She met Jesus herself. Nobody preached to her. At the age 18, she encountered Christ. And she started going through a lot of persecutions. This picture I took was in 2020. Last two Fridays ago, Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, was in Ashland here. He was in Ashbrook Center for a dinner as a speaker. I smuggled myself into the dinner, purposely to go and embrace him, to see if the security will allow me to hug him. Yes. And it was not easy. But God, where I sat down, Mike Pompeo came through me and showed me his hand. And I gave it back to him. And he held my hand. And I told him, thank you. Thank you and thank you. He said, what is it? I told him, I said, his policies as Secretary of State was the one that enables myself and my family to escape Nigeria. And it was his policy that made me to bring this girl to the United States, courtesy the U.S. Embassy in Nigeria in 2020 for her safety, for her life and her protection. They came up with a religious freedom roundtable. And Sam Brownback was the ambassador on religious freedom. And then the issues went to them. And then by the grace of God, they rescued her. And they brought her here. And she's schooling in a Christian university in Mississippi. And I told him about the policy. He broke down. He said, oh, John, I didn't know. that the policies are established, because then he announced it as Nigeria as a country of particular concern, CPC. And he told the president of Nigeria, if you will not stop killing the Christians, US government will do everything possible to support them, to protect them. Yes. So that policy reduced the level of the killings in Nigeria drastically until this new government came into power and removed that CPC. And the killing started again, without any limitations. The very day they removed that policy, over 200 people were killed in one day, because they have liberty to move freely and do whatever they want to do. Can I have Reverend Zongo? Yes, this young reverend was kidnapped by the Boko Haram. He has one of the biggest churches in my city. So the Boko Haram picked him up. So they want to kill him. Look at how they turned him, the middle picture. Look at the young man, look at how he became. He was 8 months in their camp, couldn't take bath, no shower, nothing, for 8 good months. And then God used me particularly, and then some few people who helped, and we started struggling for his release, negotiating with the Boko Haram, don't kill him, because we know the effect it will cause the church. If they kill him, the church will believe that there is no God. They will believe, they will get discouraged with the large congregations. So we had to go on the ground, appealing and pleading. He even ran 2 videos asking for help, that people can, the government of Nigeria should come to his rescue. And top politician, that the last picture, not this one, the other video, not this one. Yes, this video. This was when he was, captured by the militants, the militias, Islamic terrorists. So they had to
Ranar Litinin 19 ga watan goma. Na hanya zan je taro a Gombe.
I don't even know how to interpret this one for you.
Sai Sadu da sojojin Kailafa suka kama ni a hanya. Yanzu nan ina hannunsu. Ina roƙon gwamnatin Governor Plateau State, Right Honorable Barrister Simon.
Now this is his appealing to the state government,
Senator Plateau North,
the whole senators,
Dr. Barrister ID Gang,
all of them,
the Kuma Christian Association of
with
Nigeria,
all the Christian associations of Nigeria,
Sutemaka,
and his denominations.
Sucheni,
that's okay, Victor.
Kuma Kama,
they did that to see how he was, if they put him on record for him to call to let the whole world know where he is. That we, the terrorist group, has picked him up. And then they are looking for how to rescue him. They put a ransom on him with about 5 women, Christian women that they got, picked up that same day on the route. And they put a ransom of about $700,000 for his rescue. Where on earth will he get that money? So that's why we went into prayers. I told God, I said, no. Silver and gold we don't have, but in the name of Jesus Christ, he shall be rescued. So we kept on and on and on until we rescued him. After he's rescued, that was why they were down after my life and my family. So I quickly had to look for the way to move the family. Left for me, I would have been in Nigeria. But the family, I look at the young family, I said, no, I won't want to risk them. Let me find them a way out. So that's just that. So many persecutions. But God has been very, very faithful. Very, very faithful. All of us are part of the persecuted churches. That's why we need to pray for them. We know what they are going through. And so every day, on and on, we had to do all those work together collectively. We have part of it. I'm so happy that some of them, you know, all of these people that have been, you know, persecuted, are excited that we didn't leave them alone. Even though that we are still here, we are still reaching out every day. Every day. We are praying for them. We are still supporting. We are still encouraging, because they know we will never leave the church behind. That is our sole responsibility, to ensure that the church of God is being protected. If you look at it, part of it, we also have a medical mission in Nigeria. And the medical mission, we did that medical mission purposely for the people who were attacked. You will see them attacked, and then I don't want to put grossly pictures. So we you will see them. Of course, this is the facility we acquired for the medical mission. And this is the hospital currently, where all the Christians that have been attacked, these are all the workers, the nurses, and a few doctors who are helping into the hospital, whereby they attack you. You will see somebody bleeding to death, nowhere to go to for help. So we're able to establish these facilities to help them, give them free medical services. As long as you're a Christian, you do that. We established that organization, myself and my wife, John Puffy Foundation. That's the name of the NGO. So that's what we do. We do make sure we give them all the necessary support we can, and then ensure their safety. We also have mobile library projects. The mobile library, yes, this is the mobile library project. A very big mobile library with books. All the churches, the houses that were born, no access to educations, no access to schools. So what we do, we give you access to free books to be able to read. You stay in the camp, we drive the trucks, we allowed you to sit down, even under the mango tree or any tree, and then enjoy yourself, or you climb into the library, I mean the mobile library truck, and have your liberty to read and have access to education. Because part of, or the meaning of Boko Haram is Western education is evil. They don't want anything Western education. Don't give them education. You know, so they get irritated with education. That's the Islamic terrorist group. You know, so about, we insisted that no matter what, we'll create an avenue to ensure that they have a form of education. So we have this mobile library. We even have, currently we have even a container right now in Chicago with Center of Nonviolence, which have been a partner with us for so many years that have been helping. Yes, this is a container. In fact, it's fully loaded with materials donated by the Christian Brethren in Chicago. So it's ready to move, I think, before the end of this month. We're trying to move that container with all the materials, education materials, medical supplies, supports, and all those things to ensure that, because they are, that's their part of contributions for some years now. It ensures that their own mission support to the organizations has to keep moving. So that is what we do currently to support, even that we are here, to ensure that the work still continue. As a matter of fact, we believe so much in mission. And that's why we're here. And I don't want to overbox you with so much history. If I want to give you pictures here, you won't even finish watching. And all the grocery pictures, I remove them. You will see the attacks. You will see fresh people, whatever it is, every single day. Every single day, including yesterday, there are still killings. There are still attacks on churches. Every single day. There is no single day that will pass without an attack on a church. So it caused a lot. In fact, to be honest with you, that caused me a lot of pains. I'm here, but I'm seriously pained. My heart is for the people and for the mission. Seeing what best can we do. In fact, that's the reason why you see that somebody who have served in my own capacity and position as a secretary of the whole Christian youth in Nigeria, the whole 36 states, which I've had the privilege of traveling to other African nations to see missions and to participate in the missions, to see what can we bridge the gap between all those areas and all that. So we've been doing the best we can offer, you know, generally. So the church, every believer is a part of persecuted church. Take it after you leave today. I will build my church and the gate of hell will not prevail against it. It is our responsibility collectively to pray for the church here in America. America is not safe. I can tell you currently, presently, with the kind of government you have, without any apology, there are a lot of terrorists coming into the city. Because some of us who have tested them, felt them, we know them. So packing people every day, allowing them. In fact, let me tell you, Nigeria currently, what is going through is like the happening in Afghanistan. From Afghanistan as first nations that has polarized terrorist group, the second is Nigeria. Last week, the whole U.S. embassy in Nigeria had to evacuate their domestic staffs back to the United States. I mean, last week. All their staffs, they evacuated them because of the impending danger that is coming upon Nigeria by the terrorist groups. So if the whole America will leave, then what happens to the people? What happens? We have to pray. The Church of God has to pray. Church of God has to pray. We must put our head together and change the perspective of all the happenings around. And then we'll do. Let me read one scripture and then we close from there. Just one. Romans chapter 10, verse 12. Is anybody there can read for us? Let me close the service with that scripture. Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 12. We don't have people who have Bibles in the church. Yes. Verse 13. Anyone that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray for more people to be saved. More people to be saved. It's good that if they attack them, they should be saved and go to heaven. Now let's read verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not belief? There must be belief. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not preached? Who have not heard, sorry. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? So all of us are part of it. You're either a preacher, you're either a prayer, you're either a person who is ready to go, or whichever it is, to ensure that all those souls are saved. All the churches are saved, the persecuted Christians are saved. By so doing, God will help us. Shall we all rise? Are you yourself saved? That's the question. That's the first question. Are you yourself saved? If you are saved, we're good to go. Then we're good to go. If you are not yet saved, then we pray for you to be saved. And then we move on. Praise God. And so, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning, because we heard your word that we are first of all saved, and then before we could be able to pray for people who will go